it's written in the old hand, but I can read it clear enough.
Matthias jostled him boisterously.
What does it say, old one? Hurry up and read it to me.
Oh, patience, ye young scallywag. Yeah, be quiet and listen. It takes the form of a poem. Who says that I am dead knows naught at all. I am, that is, two mice within red wall. The warrior sleeps twixt hall and cavern hole. I am, that is, take on my mighty role. Look for the sword in moonlight streaming forth. At night, when day's first hour reflects the north. From o'er the threshold, seek and you will see. I am, that is, my sword will wield for me.
Matthias blinked and scratched his head. He looked at Methuselah.
Well, what did all that mean? It's a riddle to me.
Well, precisely. It is indeed a riddle, but don't worry, Matthias. We will solve it together. I sent for food and drink. You and I will not move from here until we have the answer.
Shortly afterwards, Cornflower arrived, bearing a tray of breakfast for them both, nut bread, salad, milk, and some of Friar Hugo's special quince pie. She was about to strike up a conversation with Matthias when Methuselah sent her packing.
Hugh, away with your little field mouse. I need Matthias with a clear brain to help me solve an important problem, so run along.
Cornflower winked at Matthias, shook her head at Methuselah, and walked off with mock dignity, her nose high in the air. Matthias watched her go, until Methuselah tweaked his ear.
Pay attention now, young mouse. We must study this bit by bit. Let's take the first two lines. Who says that I am dead knows naught at all?
Matthias waved a paw, his mouth filled with salad. He mumbled.
But we know that Martin is dead.
Methuselah took a sip of milk, pulled a wry face, and reached for his October ale.
Ah, but if we suppose that he is dead, then the words tell us we know nothing at all. So let us assume that he is alive.
What? Do you mean Martin alive and walking about? We'd recognise him. Unless, that is, he was disguised as someone else.
The old gatehouse keeper choked, spluttering ale over his habit.
Good grief! I never looked at it that way. Oh, very good, young one. Maybe the answer is in the next two lines. What do they say? I am, that is, two mice within red wall.
Matthias repeated the words, but he could make no sense of them.
I am, that is, what is... two mice within red wall? Two mice it tells of.
Of two mice in one.
They sat silent a while, both racking their brains. Matthias mentioned something that was bothering him as he looked at the graven lines.
What I cannot understand is that sort of dash. Look, I, dash, am that is. Do you see? There is a small dash between the words I and am. In fact, the same dash occurs three times throughout the rhyme. Here, here, and here.
Matthias pointed. Methuselah adjusted his glasses and peered closely.
Yes, you may have something there. It could be the key to the whole thing. I am, that is. Let's say that the dash separates the line so that we will look at the last three words. Am, that is. Suppose we took that part out. Then it would read, I, two mice within red wall.
Matthias shook his head.
What do you make of that?
Complete nonsense. Let's stick with, am, that is.
It sounds all mixed up to me.
Methuselah looked up sharply.
Say that again.
Say what again? You mean that it sounds all mixed up to me?
Methuselah executed a little jig of delight. He patted the wall with his paw, shouting,
"That's it! That's it! Why couldn't I see that? It's all mixed up, of course!"
The old mouse took a great draught of ale. Cackling with glee, he pointed a paw at Matthias.
"I know something you don't know, that is, Matthias."
The young mouse frowned. So the old one had finally cracked. He was in his second infancy.
"Methuselah, hadn't you better lie down a while?"
But the old gatehouse keeper kept pointing. He began to chant,
"Matthias, I that am, Matthias, you that are."
The young mouse stood tapping his tail in exasperation.
"I wish you'd tell me what you're so excited about. Why are you saying my name?"
Methuselah wiped tears of laughter from his eyes as he explained,
"When you said it was all mixed up, that got me thinking. Martin was talking of two mice, himself and another. Ergo, Martin is represented by the word I. The other mouse is am that is. All mixed up. Now, do you see?"
Matthias leaned against the wall.
"I'm afraid I don't follow you."
"Oh, you young booby. I mix the letters up and rearrange them. It's your own name. Am that is. Matthias."
"Are you sure?"
"Of course I'm sure. It couldn't mean anything else. Your name has 8 letters in it. So has am that is. An M, 2 A's, 2 T's, an H, an I, and an S. Whichever way you look at it, Matthias, or am that is, it comes out the same."
"Methuselah, do you realise what this means?"
The old mouse sat down beside him, nodding gravely.
"Oh, yes, indeed I do. It means that Martin somehow knew that one day he would live on through you."
Matthias was staggered.
"He knew about me? Martin the warrior knew my name? Can you imagine that?"
The enormity of it overwhelmed them both. For several minutes they sat, no word passing between them. Suddenly, Matthias leapt to his feet.
"Right, let's get on with it. Look at these lines. The warrior sleeps twixt hall and cavern hole. I am that is, take on my mighty role."
"Well, the last 2 lines are pretty clear. They mean that Martin, carrying on through you, has a great task to perform."
"What about the first 2 lines? They seem fairly obvious too. Between great hall and cavern hole, there is a flight of stairs. Come on, old mouse."
In spite of his advanced years, Methuselah gripped Matthias's paw and ran so fast that the younger mouse had difficulty in keeping up. Between Great Hall and Cavern Hall, there were 7 stone steps. The problem was, which one held the answer?
"Thinking caps on again? Let's make a close inspection of these steps."
Together, they examined the stone steps minutely, going back over each one several times. Matthias sat on the bottom step. He shrugged.
"They appear to be 7 ordinary broad stone steps. Nothing special. Quite the same as any other set of stairs in the abbey, wouldn't you say?"
Methuselah was forced to agree. After sitting a while and letting his eyes roam about, Matthias remarked,
"I've just noticed something. The name of our abbey is carved into the wall as you go up the steps on the left-hand side, and also as you descend on the right-hand wall. It reads Red Wall either way."
Methuselah walked up and down the steps, testing what Matthias had said.
"Yes, so it does. Do you see that each letter is 1 step's width? 7 letters for 7 steps. Surely that must be some kind of a hint."
Again the 2 friends sat to ponder the mystery. This time it was Matthias's turn to become excited and point a paw at his companion.
"I know something you don't know."
Methuselah pursed his lips in annoyance.
"You know, Matthias, for a mouse that claims affinity with Martin the warrior, You can be singularly foolish sometimes.
No more foolish than you were when you were saying the same thing to me not so long ago.
Methuselah coughed and cleaned his spectacles on his habits.
Ah, yes. I apologize. Now, please tell me what you have discovered.
If you place the word red wall running both ways as it does here, you will notice that only one letter occurs in the same place, the letter W. Furthermore, if you were to turn a W upside down, it becomes a letter M, which stands for Martin, Matthias, oh, and also for Methuselah, my old friend.
Curl me whiskers. The young scoundrel has a brain and it works too. It's got to be the fourth step, the middle one, up or down.
The step in question proved to be as solid and unmoving as its counterparts. Even with their combined strength, the friends could not budge it a fraction. Matthias wiped sweat from his brow.
Take a breather, old one. I know who can handle this. Four mole hunters team.
The moles were not long in arriving. They gathered around the step, sniffing and scratching. Four mole exercised his authority, clearing them out of his way.
Your moles, get out in the light. Let them dog it bone there.
Formal paced the length of the step and shuffled sideways over it. He tapped it with his great digging claws. He sniffed it, licked it, and rubbed it with his velvet head.
What do you generally know about this year step?
Together, they related all the information to the attentive Formal. He blinked short-sightedly as he ruminated.
Fortin upwards, same downwards. Your Walt, Ark Dobie. Make that same as your grandmum do find when she'm rooting about olden time fortifications.
What's he saying?
Methuselah translated the curious mole dialect.
Formal said the fourth step upwards is the same as the fourth step down. That much we already know. Then he consulted the two mole brothers, Walt and Dobie. It seems the step is the same as one found by their grandmother when she was exploring an old-fashioned castle or fortifications. Moles are very sensible creatures, you know, and I think they have the answer to our problem.
Good old Formal.
Shh! Let's hear what Walt and Dobie have to say.
The two mole brothers respectfully tugged their noses to Formal before answering.
That be true, sir. Our grandmum, she'm find lots of them.
Oi, that she do. Never digging or breaking, just turn them after rusting.
Methuselah interpreted to Matthias.
Apparently, their grandmother was somewhat of an authority on steps such as these. The clever old mole would neither dig nor break them. Evidently, she could turn the step over once she had brushed it.
Matthias addressed Formal courteously.
Excuse me, sir, but do you know how to deal with this step now? If you do, then my friend and I would be only too willing to help you.
Formal smiled, his whole face almost vanishing into dark velvet wrinkles. He clapped Matthias on the shoulder in a chummy way. The young mouse was amazed at the weight and strength of Formal's paw. He was glad that it was a friendly pat. Formal chuckled deeply.
Nay, nay, bless your little heart, Matwise. You now, Methuselah, be but mouses. Best leave it to Formal. I'll deal with him.
He says he can cope adequately without either of us.
Formal produced a thick, fine-haired handbrush from his tunnelling kit. Bending close, he brushed furiously at the upper and lower insteps of the fourth stone. As he swept, he snuffled and blew, following the path of his brush. It soon became apparent that the stone had been cunningly jointed. The dust came away to reveal a continuous hairline crack which ran around the edges of the step. Next, Formal rummaged in his kit and came up with a tin of grease and a strong thin bar, one end of which was flattened like a spatula. Smearing the grease liberally on top of the third step, Formal inserted the flat metal tip against the base of the fifth step. He dealt the blunt end of the bar a smart blow, setting it firmly into the crack. With a swift movement, he levered the fourth step an inch forward, exposing a long dark gap. With a grunt of satisfaction, Formo called out to his team,
"Here, moles, get around and set your digging claws in them crack."
The mole team dug their claws into the gap, chanting together as they heaved with a will.
"Here she come, even you please, move in boulder, slide on grease."
To the astonishment of the watching mice, the step slid smoothly outwards on the greased stone. It turned completely over to reveal a dark opening with a downward flight of stairs running off into the blackness below. Chapter 5. Old Seela the Vixen muttered her charms and spells in a sing-song voice. Sometimes she did a hopping little dance around the sick bed. Clooney was not fooled. He watched as the fox sprinkled magic herbs on the pillow, reciting another strange spell as she did so. The old fraud, Clooney thought. All that mumbo-jumbo and magic nonsense. Why does she need it when she knows that she's a perfectly good doctor? Seela had placed herb poultices and healing salves on all the warlord's wounds. After bandaging them neatly, she had administered a potion that would deaden the pain and induce sleep. Clooney was satisfied. He had been treated by healers many times before. Seela was the best. All the added muttering, dancing and trickery was done merely to enhance her reputation, to pull the wool over the eyes of stupid, ignorant creatures. "She may be a fox, but she'll never outfox me," Clooney thought to himself. Seela had assured him that with 3 weeks' rest combined with her healing skills, he would be fighting fit once more. 3 weeks! At first the rat leader had raged and sworn he had never been out of action that long in all his life. But secretly, he knew that the fox was right. Without her, Clooney would have been dead, or permanently crippled. Like all of her kind, Seela was a slippery character. What did she expect to gain from all this? Loot and plunder from Redwall. Seela had never been allowed past the Abbey gates. She was certain that if Clooney's army overran Redwall, there would be enough treasure to keep even the greediest creature happy for life. Now, as the potions took effect, Clooney felt himself drifting off to sleep, lulled by the ceaseless chantings and murmurings of old Seela. He would have come awake like a scorched tiger had he known what the fox was actually up to. Old Seela had lived on her wits for many years. She was a counter-spy by nature. In any dispute or conflict, she invariably sold secrets to both sides. It was a dangerous game, but one that she had played well thus far. Her crafty golden eyes had not been idle for a second since entering Clooney's camp. Seela knew exactly how many rats, weasels, stoats and ferrets were able-bodied enough for combat. Also, she had seen the working party gnawing industriously at the base of a tall poplar. If that wasn't going to be used as a battering ram, then Seela was a trout, and by her own diagnosis of 3 weeks, she knew to the day when the date of the next attack on Redwall would be. The vixen watched Clooney's eyes closing under the influence of her medicine. These warlords were all the same. They never gave credit for brains to anyone except themselves. There the big oaf was, snoring like a fox cub in his earth on a winter's night. She turned to the armed rats who guarded the sick room. She issued orders in a confidential whisper.
"I want no noise, please. Your chief must have complete rest. Don't let him exert himself when he wakes. Now, you'll have to excuse me."
She made her way to the door. Fangburn and Redtooth stood barring it.
"Where do you think you're off to, Fox?"
Seela licked her lips. She tried to look kindly but earnest.
"Actually, I was going back to my den to replenish my stock of herbs. That's if you wish me to treat your leader properly, of course."
Redtooth prodded her with a spear.
"Clooney gave strict orders that you must stay here until he's better."
The sly fox blustered.
"But my good rat, surely you must realise that I can do nothing without my stock of herbs. Now please, let me pass."
Fangburn shoved her roughly.
"Sit down. You're not going anywhere."
Seela seated herself. Her mind was racing.
Then at least let me go out into the churchyard. I've got to have some fresh air. Besides, I can tell my young assistant what herbs I require, and he can fetch them for me.
Red Tooth was not convinced.
But the chief said you've got to stay here.
Sela smiled inwardly. She had them where she wanted them now. She put on a serious expression, shaking her head gravely.
Then you had better let me have your names. That way I can tell Clooney when he awakes full of pain with festering wounds. No doubt he'll want to know who it was stopped me trying to cure him.
This crafty statement did the trick. After a few whispered words between the two rats, Red Tooth turned to Sela.
Listen, Fox. You can go out into the churchyard and tell your assistant to run this errand, but Fangburn here will be right beside you with a cutlass in your ribs. One false move out of you, and you'll be a dead healer. Is that clear?
Sela smiled ingratiatingly.
By all means, let your friend come along. I have nothing to hide.
Out in the churchyard, Chicken Hound, who was the son of Sela, sat sunning himself upon a tombstone. Fangburn did not see the secret wink that passed between the two foxes. Chicken Hound was as devious as his mother in matters of espionage. His face was the picture of blank innocence as he listened to Sela's instructions.
Now listen carefully, my son. We have a very sick rat inside that church. He is in urgent need of my special remedies. I want you to run as quickly as you can back to our den. Bring me back some snakewort, cuckoo spit, a medium eel skin, 3 fine strips of willow bark. Oh, there's so much to remember. I'd better write it all down for you.
Sela turned to Fangburn.
Do you carry any writing materials with you, sir?
Fangburn spat scornfully at the fox's feet.
Are you trying to make fun of me, healer? What do you think I am? Writing materials. The idea of it.
Sela smiled disarmingly.
Ah, I thought not. Sorry, no offence. I'll just make do with some bark and a burnt twig. Where could I obtain such things, please?
Fangburn pointed sullenly with his cutlass.
Over there by the cooking fire, and be quick about it.
A few minutes later, Sela had presented Chicken Hound with a scroll of bark that she had written upon.
There, that should do it. Now hurry along, my son. Don't stop for anything on the way. Isn't that right, Captain?
Fangburn puffed out his chest, proud that the fox knew his rank. He pointed a claw at Chicken Hound.
You listen to what your mother tells you, young fella. Get back here with the stuff on that list as soon as possible. Be off with you now.
The young fox took off like a rocket. Fangburn leaned on his cutlass.
That's the way to deal with young'uns.
Sela looked at him admiringly.
Indeed it is, sir. He never goes that fast for me. It's obvious that you've got an air of command about you.
Fangburn coloured slightly. This vixen wasn't such a bad creature after all. He gestured modestly to the church with his cutlass.
I think it's time we went back inside. Orders, you know.
Oh, quite. Can't have you getting in trouble, can we?
As soon as he was out of sight of Clooney's stronghold, Chicken Hound slowed to a leisurely walk. He unfastened the bark scroll and read his mother's message.
To the Abbot of Redwall Abbey. I know exactly when, where, and how the hordes of Clooney will attack your abbey. What price will you give me for this important information? Sela, the vixen.
Chicken Hound sniggered noisily. He knew precisely what his mother required him to do. He recalled Sela's favourite saying, I've sold hens their own eggs back and stolen the whiskers from farmyard dogs. The young fox ambled along the dusty road to Redwall, the hedgerows echoing with the sound of his sly chuckles. Chapter 6 Cornflower was having a very busy day. Having delivered food to Matthias and Methuselah, she went out on the ramparts, accompanied by her helpers. They fed the sentries and took back all the dishes. Next, she found herself making an extra 2 trays of food up for Silent Sam's parents. The 2 squirrels thanked her politely and set to with an appetite. Little Sam stood watching them, sucking his paw. Cornflower had a special soft spot for the baby squirrel. She made up a tray for him, too. She had no sooner finished than Constance called to ask a favour of her. Would she mind making up another 4 trays, three for the Vole family who had just returned, and an extra large one for Basil Staghare. Cornflower cheerfully obliged. Later, as they all ate, her eyes grew wide with amazement. She had never seen anyone shift such vast amounts of food, not even Constance or Ambrose Spike. They were huge eaters, but mere amateurs compared with Basil Staghare. Basil wiped his mouth daintily on a napkin. He had impeccable manners to match his insatiable appetite. He gushed forth praise for the Abbey victuals.
Oh, excellent. Absolutely top hole. Do you know, I'd forgotten how good the old tiffin at Redwall could be. I say, my dear, would you mind refreshing an old bachelor hare's memory? Another tankard of that fine October ale, and perhaps one more portion of your very good summer salad? Ah, and I think I could manage another few slices of Friar Hugo's quince pie. Superb. Don't forget the goat's milk cheese with hazelnuts. I'm very partial to that. Cut along now, you little charmer. My word, what an attractive young field mouse girl.
Cornflower sent two of her helpers. They had to go the long way around to reach the kitchens. Abbot Mortimer had declared Great Hall and Cavern Hall out of bounds to all creatures, with the exception of those helping Matthias and Methuselah. Below the newly discovered steps, a pair of lanterns cast pools of golden light into the inky blackness. The two mice made their way gingerly down the secret staircase. The mole stayed outside, ready to help if they were needed further. The air was chilly but dry. Deeper and deeper, the two friends went, until the steps ended at the beginning of a downward winding corridor. It had been neatly dug and shored up with wooden supports. Matthias suppressed a shudder. How long had it been since any creature trod this silent, musty passage? He brushed away cobwebs which disintegrated at the touch of a paw. Methuselah held on to his habit. Now they turned left, now right, then another left turn, left again, then right. Methuselah's voice sounded hollow and eerie.
And this passage was probably dug like this to give it extra strength. Have you noticed, Matthias? We seem to be going downwards still.
Yes, we must be nearly underneath the Abbey foundations.
The friends pressed onwards. They could not estimate how long they had been following the course of this ancient winding corridor. Methuselah had ventured slightly ahead. Now he halted.
This looks like the end of the line.
It was a door. Together they inspected it. Built of stout timber, banded with iron, beset with flodden spikes. The door did not appear to be locked, yet it would not budge. Matthias held his lantern high.
Look, there's some writing on the lintel over the door.
Methuselah read it aloud.
The same as the steps twixt the hall. Remember and look to the centre. My password again is Redwall. And that is, you alone are to enter.
The old mouse did not hide his disappointment.
After all the help and assistance that I've given, countless hours of study and valuable time, and really...
His words fell upon deaf ears. Matthias was already counting the flodden spikes that were driven into the door. Methuselah feigned indifference. But his natural curiosity soon overcame any chagrin he felt at not being allowed to pass the doorway.
Need any help, young mouse?
42, 43. Hush! Can't you see I'm trying to count?
The old gatehousekeeper put on his glasses.
Well, have you solved the riddle all by yourself?
Matthias winked at his companion.
Yes, at least I hope I have. There are three clues in the rhyme, you see. The same as the steps. Look to the centre, and the password is Redwall. Now, we must remember that Redwall has seven letters. If you look at these old-fashioned nails...
Florence spikes?
Methuselah corrected.
Yes. If you look at these Florence spikes, you'll find that they're in rows of seven, the same as the number of letters in Redwall. There are seven rows of spikes going from side to side, and seven rows from top to bottom. 49 spikes in all. Therefore, the 25th spike up down or across is the exact middle spike. The rhyme says, look to the centre. That's this one here.
As Matthias placed his paw on the spike in question, the door swung creakingly inwards. Both mice could feel the hairs standing on their backs as the door opened with agonising slowness. When it stood fully open, Matthias put his paw around Methuselah's thin shoulders.
Come on, old friend. We go in together.
But the rhyme, it says that only you may enter.
Matthias answered in a strange, full voice. He seemed to grow in years and stature.
I am that is, old one. Martin is Matthias. As my trusted friend and faithful companion, I say that you may enter with me.
Methuselah felt himself in the presence of one many times older than he. Lanterns held high, the two mice advanced through the doorway. It was a small, low-ceilinged chamber. A stone block rested squarely in the centre. The tomb of Martin the Warrior. All around the sides of the stone were detailed carvings, depicting scenes from Martin's life, deeds of valour and works of skilful healing. Lying along the top of the stone was a life-sized effigy of the warrior. He was clothed in the familiar habit of a red wall mouse, plain, with no trimmings. Matthias stood reverently, gazing upon the calm features of his own legendary hero in the silence of the small chamber. Methuselah whispered in his ear,
"He bears an uncanny resemblance to you, young one."
As the old mouse spoke, the door behind him creaked shut. Feeling no panic, Matthias turned to look. On the back of the door hung a shield and a sword belt. The shield was a plain round steel thing, of the type carried by warriors of old. The years had not dulled its highly burnished front. At its centre was a letter M. The sword belt was in pristine condition, soft and as supple as if it had newly come from the tanner's bench, shiny black leather, with a hanging tab to carry sword and scabbard. Its broad silver buckle gleamed in the lantern light. Without a word, Matthias undid his novice's cord girdle. Handing it to Methuselah, he took down the sword belt and buckled it about his waist. The belt fitted as if it had been made for him. With great care, he lifted the shield from the door and tried it on his arm. It had two grips, one below the elbow, the other for the paw to grasp. It felt oddly familiar to Matthias. There was more writing where the shield had hung upon the back of the door. Methuselah read it.
By the moonlight on the hour, in my threshold space lay me. Watch the beam reflect my power. Unite once more my sword with me. I am, that is, stand true for all. O warrior mouse, protect red wall.
As in a dream, Matthias gave the door a gentle tug. It opened. By the lantern lights, the two mice made their way back from the lonely chamber, back to the familiar warmth and cheer of Redwall Abbey, back to the hot June noonday sun.
Chapter 7
Constance stood on the ramparts. She leaned over the parapet, watching as a young fox approached along the dusty road, bearing a stick with a white rag of truce tied to it. The big badger was uneasy. She knew this one, a fox from old Sealer's brood. You needed eyes in the back of your head to watch that lot.
Stop right there and state your business, fox,
Constance called gruffly. Chicken Hound sniggered, but seeing the badger's stern expression, he quickly took control of himself.
I want to see your rabbit.
The reply was abrupt.
Well, you can't.
The fox waved his flag, squinting up at Constance.
But I must see the abbot. I come in peace. I have important information for sale.
The badger was unmoved.
I don't care if you've got the rumbling foxtrot. You aren't getting inside this abbey. If you want to speak to anyone, then speak to me.
Constance watched the crestfallen fox, then added as an afterthought.
And if you don't like it, well, you can sling your brush back up the road.
Chicken Hound was dismayed. This last insult had taken the wind completely out of his sails. He tried to think how Sealer would have handled a situation like this. Eventually, he unrolled the bark scroll and waved it up at Constance.
This message is for the abbot's eyes only. It's important.
The badger eyed him coldly.
Then chuck it up here. I'll see that he gets it.
No amount of wheedling and blandishment would cause the cynical badger to change her mind. She was adamant. In the end, Chickenhound had to throw the scroll up. He made several puny attempts, each one weaker than the last. As the scroll fell back down into the road yet again, Constance called aloud.
Put some energy into it, you little milksop. I'm not hanging about here all day.
Chickenhound heaved the scroll with all his strength. He was gratified to see Constance lean out and catch it. Hopefully, he called.
I'll wait right here for an answer.
The badger grunted noncommittally. She sat down below the parapet out of sight of the fox and scanned the message. Constance stayed where she was until a reasonable time elapsed, then stood up, panting heavily for effect.
Tell Celia that the abbot will see her 2 days from tonight at 10 o'clock in Mossflower Wood. She must come to the old tree stump, and mind you tell her, no tricks.
Chickenhound waved the flag. He went into a bout of uncontrollable sniggering.
Right, I've got the message, fat one. Be sure your abbot brings lots of valuables with him. Goodbye, old greyback.
Constance poked an angry snout down at the insulting young fox.
You'd better get running, frog face. I'm coming down there to put my paw behind you right now.